Well, let's start off by a little bit by reviewing what we've been doing. We're in Galatians, a series, Free in Christ, the Spirit-Filled Life. And my sermon this morning is titled, A Church Shaped by the Cross. A Church Shaped by the Cross. The first five chapters, Paul has defended the gospel of grace. He's argued that we are justified by faith alone in Christ alone and not by works of the law. How many of you understand that now, that we've been pounding away at that, it seems like, for about 10, 12 weeks? It's not the law. It's grace. It's the gift of Christ and Christ alone. If you're with us this morning and have never heard the gospel, it's a real simple thing. It's Christ, who is the Son of God, was sent to the earth, took on flesh, born of a virgin to fulfill all the prophecies in the Old Testament, and lived on the earth for 33 years, fulfilling the law, fulfilling everything his dad, the Heavenly Father, had sent him to do. And then he went to a cross and died on a cross, taking your sins and my sins and the sins of all of those who would believe with him to the cross, and nailed him there and paid the price that you couldn't pay. And by placing faith in that and that alone, he died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. If you can believe in that, you can be saved today. Amen? So that's who we're speaking to today. We're speaking to believers in Jesus Christ. We know that early on in the passage. He calls us brethren. So we'll look at that in a second. He has warned us, Paul has warned us about legalism. He has contrasted the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. And Todd went over that the last couple of weeks, did a marvelous job of that. Now he shows us the gospel and what it actually produces. And the cross does not only reconcile us to God, it reshapes how we relate to one another. And we're going to see that this morning in the passage. So what does a church look like when it is truly shaped by the cross of Jesus Christ? What does that look like? There's some examples here of what it should look like. The fruits of the Spirit are, when you're Spirit controlled, you are practicing those fruits. And so, but in this passage, these first 10 verses, I'm going to do my best to get through them. I will warn you that I got through three of them in the first service, and I had 46 minutes. This time I got 39, so we'll see what happens. A church shaped by the cross restores the sinner gently. Bears burdens humbly. Sows to the Spirit faithfully. Perseveres in doing good patiently. That's what I see here. So let's take a look at the passage itself. Let me read that to you. Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. I like that one a lot. Let me read it to you again. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for your word. I pray this morning that you will use your servant, the speaker, to say what it is you once said. Let the Holy Spirit speak through me the things that you would have us look at that would shape this church through the grace of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've already spoken to, this is the restoring gently. A church shaped by the cross restores gently. So in looking at this passage, we're just going to walk through a little at a time, and I'll tell you what I'm getting out of the thing, and we'll apply it to your life. Right? Somebody said in the first service, there was a lot of application in that. And I'm like, they said, not as instructional, but more applicational. I'm like, huh? So I think if it's applicational, that's instructional. So we're going to do that. Brethren, that's, we already talked about that. He starts off, he's talking to those that have placed faith in Christ. Those are a part of the body of the church. He always calls them brethren. So he does that. And some of your translations will say brothers and sisters. That's fine. That works too. We're not leaving the ladies out. And neither did God. So, and neither did Paul. So he wrote it in such a fashion that it speaks to both. Paul's not speaking to critics. He's speaking to family. He's speaking to those who belong to the body of Christ. So then he says this, and this is, if just right away, if anyone is caught in any trespass, the word caught suggests someone who's overtaken or trapped or maybe overwhelmed with sin. A particular sin that maybe has bothered them for multiple years even. And they just get trapped or caught in it. And it says there, in any trespass. There's no one, he's not saying here, in this particular trespass. He's saying in any trespass. Anything that goes against God's word, anything that goes against God's character, you as his child should have similar character to him. That's what you're striving to have, the same character. So if you are in any trespass, if you're caught in it, there's a couple things I put there. Paul assumes something important. Even in a spirit-filled church, believers will still get trapped from time to time. They'll still stumble. How many of you got saved and you've lived a sinless life ever since? Do not raise your hand. There's going to be times when we get trapped or we stumble a bit. Doesn't please God when it happens, but he made a way that when it does happen, we can get back right with him. Right? If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive it. And the relationship is restored. So there's that. And then I put this down. Christians actually sin still. You're seen as righteous. You're positionally righteous, but not on your own accord, on the righteousness of Christ that's been imputed to your account. You had such a debt in sin, and Christ came along, took your debt, and now because you put faith in him and you believe that he took the debt, that he did everything necessary for the sins in your life to be forgiven, you now can rest in that. But it doesn't mean you won't sin. People still sin. Trust me, this week, Todd and I have dealt with multiple people that are in sin. And others in this room have done that. How we deal with it is what's important. It's important that we deal with it when we notice it and when we see it. But it's also important how we do it. And we'll talk about that. The presence of sin in a church does not mean the gospel has failed. That is not what it means. It doesn't mean I got saved and I'm still sinning, so the gospel that saved me wasn't strong enough. No, you're just stuck in flesh still. You're in flesh. Guess what? Every one of you woke up this morning, you had flesh on. That surprise you? No, if you didn't have, I don't know where you'd be. You wouldn't be here, though. But you have flesh, and so you're still capable of making a wrong decision. That's what he's saying. He says, if you get caught in a trespass, but how the church responds to sin reveals whether it understands, whether the church understands the gospel. So we keep teaching this. I've been taught this at Valley. I've been here 54 years, and Pastor Phil started teaching us Bible studies on Tuesday nights. When I first landed here, I started going to those. I started to understand the grace of God and how it works. Started to understand that it wasn't about my works. Because I'd come out of a denomination that legalism was kind of normal. Now, let me tell you something. I love those people. They're all saved to the bone, and the legalism didn't hurt me. You know, not going to the movies and seeing certain things, that never hurt me. Now, some of the women weren't supposed to be wearing makeup. That one might have hurt a little bit. Anyway, you realize that. So then what's the responsibility as we move on in the passage? There's a responsibility of the mature believer. Who's the mature believer? And what does he look like? Let's see what he looks like. Who are the spiritual? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 tells me what they're not. If you're not spiritual, this is identifying you. If you're not considered spiritual, like Paul says, I couldn't consider these particular people spiritual. Look at this, watch. This is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, once again, he's identifying who he's talking to. He's talking to the church. Could not speak to you as spiritual men. There are people in the room right now that if I knew everything about your life, I would say I can't speak to you as a spiritual man, maybe. Why? Watch. But as men of the flesh. I want you to recognize something. He called them brethren. But he says, I can't speak to you as spiritual men. I can only speak to you as men in flesh. As to infants in Christ, baby Christians, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive the solid food. So these are not the people that he's talking to in verse 1 of chapter 6. When he says, you who are spiritual, he's not talking to the babes in Christ, the ones that are brand new believers. Okay? Indeed, even now you are not yet able. So you don't even have to be a brand new believer. You might have been saved for a while, but you've never grasped food. You've never taken in. You've never learned to read your Bible. You've never learned to pray. You never learned to be in church when it's here. There's just things you haven't learned yet. Some of it you've been taught, you just haven't taken it in. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, a couple different categories that shouldn't be doing the spiritual things, they should be getting spiritual. Are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? That is not who he's talking to in verse 1 of chapter 6 here. That's the not category. Not the elite, the one who thinks he's better than everybody else. That's a sign of spiritual immaturity. When you think that sin is not, that's not for me because I never sin. Liar. And I say that because 1 John says it. You deceive yourself if you think you don't sin. If you could live this life without sin, then why do we have 1 John 1:9? Why is it there? Because Christ knew that we would still sin from time to time. Now, a sign of maturity is when you do sin less and less and less and less and less. But this is the not. You're not sinless. If you think you're sinless, boy, you might want to check with your wife. Or you might want to check with your husband. I'm not going to put it all on the guys to be the ones that are having sin. So who are the spiritual that he's talking to? Well, you could go back to 5 where Todd was speaking last week, and you could take a look. It's the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You don't need a law on these things. You just need to act that way. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So look at this, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. You live by it, you walk it, that means something about you changes. I'm not just taking in information. My life is changing. I don't act the same way that I used to act. I don't do the things I used to do. I find myself praying. I find myself in the Word of God. I find myself replacing things that I used to do with things that God says I should be doing. Not because I'm under the law, but because I want to be more like Him. I want to be more like His Son. The only way to be more like His Son is to get closer to the Son. Is anybody awake in here? That's where I got to go. So he says, who are the spiritual? And what does he say here? Look what he says. Gives him a real good idea. There's 3 qualifications for you to be the person who goes to someone who's caught in a trespass. You got to be spiritual. You're going there to restore such a one. Not clean their clock. Not beat them up. Don't take a 2x4 with you. And listen, how many of you like to be talked to like this? Why are you looking at another woman besides your wife? Why are you still doing drugs? Why are you? What is wrong with you? What's the matter with you? Don't you know Christ died for that? Okay, now that I don't like, but I have needed that at times in my life. But what I prefer to do is get an arm around you like this. Brother, why are you looking at that other woman? God's blessed you with a beautiful wife. Why are you doing that? And besides that, God said, don't do it. All of the reasoning you have scripture for, share it with an arm around. Keep your boxing gloves at home for you and your wife to use, maybe. I don't know how that works, but. The spiritual are those walking by the Spirit that we just read. And what marks them is gentleness. In this passage, he's saying, you're going to restore the brother, but you're going to do it with gentleness. And it's a spirit of gentleness. It's a spirit of gentleness. It goes along with those spiritual things that he talked about in 5. You're going to do it with love. You're going to do it in a gentle way. I love Paul because when he wrote to Timothy, he told him, he says, even when you deal with the false teacher, even when imagine you've been trained by Christ himself to share the gospel, and you got a false teacher who's adding something to the gospel that's making it null and void. And Paul says to Timothy, handle that man with gentleness, rebuke him and admonish him with gentleness and kindness. Let the fruits of the Spirit still be evident, even when you know what you're against is completely against the gospel. The word restore there is used a couple different ways. It's used as setting a bone. Another meaning that is good for all you anglers out there. And if you don't know what an angler is, it's a fisherman. And that is repair the nets. Repair the nets. This guy's out here fishing and he's got holes in his nets. The fisherman that has holes in his nets will starve to death. And what happens is you got someone with holes in the net that needs to be restored because they're going deeper and deeper into starvation. It's spiritual starvation. They've broken their relationship with the Heavenly Father over their sin. And they don't even know it sometimes. They're so caught up in the sin, they've rationalized why it's okay. Change, that's what we're after when we restore. We want to exchange them being out of fellowship with God, restoring them back to fellowship with God. See, when they get out of fellowship with God, they get out of fellowship with us. But the more important one is to restore them back to the Father. And then the fellowship that we desire that we had with them at one time, more than likely, will be restored. If you're here today and you've been walking a fine line of playing in sin and doing these different things, you might hide that for a while. You might hide that for a while. You might get away with that. You might dress like me and everybody leaves you alone when you come to church. I told them earlier, I'm glad that Nick and Kelly wore them t-shirts today. But you might dress that way, but let me tell you something. If you are entrapped and you continue that trespassing, it will show up. We might not see the actual sin that's going on, but we'll see there's something wrong in your relationship with the Father. I don't see you growing. I don't see you in joy. What happened to you? You were doing so well. We were carrying each other along, and we were enjoying fellowship, and now you won't even look at me. What happened to you? You think that private sin is going to be hidden? God said it won't be. Your sin will find you out. And believe you me, he knew about it anyway. You can hide it from these pastors around here and these different ones. You can't hide it from him. And because your attitude will change, we'll see it. I'm looking to see what's the joy. Where is your joy at? If you come into church like somebody had to drag you in here, and you didn't used to do that, there's something going on in you. And I am just bold enough, I'm going to get in your business at that point. If I see it, I'm going to come to you and go, what's going on in your life? Something's going on. Now, I'm going to do it gently. I will. I'll be gentle. I'll put an arm around you. What's up? I can see you don't have that smile anymore. Maybe you've got a medical condition that you're trying to carry. Maybe you've got some, well, let's talk about that. But let's do this caveat before I move on. As you do this with a spirit of gentleness, each one, so it's not just pastors that get to do this, by the way. It's the spiritually mature that do it. Each one looking to yourself. I told him in the early service, when you got problems in your marriage, quit looking at your wife. Start looking in the mirror. You might be the problem. If you're married to my wife, you would be the problem, because I'm always the problem in these arguments. Sometimes I don't even go look in the mirror. I already know it was me. You're laughing. Some of you that really know me, you know it's true. It is me. But we're to restore them back with gentleness, looking to ourselves so that you too will not be tempted. Not in the same thing even. But you know what? If you're not careful, because you're spiritually mature, because so you get spiritually mature. He's talking to those that are spiritual. He's saying, be careful, though. He's warning them. Be careful. When you're dealing with someone who's having marital problems, your marriage has been smooth sailing. Now you're dealing with somebody that's got marital problems. You can't imagine that you could have marital problems. Oh, be careful. Be careful. You can be tempted just as easily. You can be. Don't get the high and mighty thing going. Don't get the elitism. I could never do that. The last time I heard a man tell a group of pastors that he didn't struggle with the area of temptation, sexual temptation, I heard him say it, and I cringed when I heard him say it. Like, you might think that, but you don't say it out loud in front of this many witnesses. And guess what? 2 years later, he resigned all his ministries because he was having an affair. A man I greatly respected, a man that I learned a ton of things from. Pastor Phil and me and Manny were at that meeting when he said it. Oh, I don't struggle in that area. I don't have a problem in that area. I'm like, you better check and make sure you're a man then. I'll tell you how I handle that. I got my tennis shoes with me at all times. Because he said to flee. Flee. Run. If you need some cleats, get some cleats on the bottom of that thing. Get some traction. Get away. I'm not that good. Neither are you. Don't fool yourself. Handle them carefully, tenderly, deliberately. Be deliberate in that. Don't forget why you're meeting with them if you set up a meeting to talk to them. Don't let them sideswipe you and you get off track. I said this in the early service. It would not hurt you if you're going to meet with someone. If you're a spiritually mature individual in this room and you're going to meet with someone who's struggling in a sin issue, it might not hurt you to make some notes before you get there. What were you going to talk about? What passage are you going to share with them, to help pull them back from that? It won't hurt if you have some bullet points written down. I don't care if they go, well, I thought you knew all the passages. I don't know all the passages. That's why I've made notes. And listen to this. A cross-shaped church does not cancel its wounded. It restores them. It restores them. And each one look to yourself. He's saying, be careful. Don't let the pride get in the way. Don't think you're above this. Because it may not be the area you're dealing with. Oh, I've just went through the whole week without sinning. Well, you're better than I am. Don't get into that mode where you think you couldn't sin. Because you will find this temptation too if you start doing that. You're already in the wrong water when you start saying, I won't sin. You can pray and ask God to keep sin from you, and he will do that, but you are too weak to not sin without that help. How many of you have had a day where everything was just going so good? Just everything was good. You had meetings, like I'm going to tell you mine. Like I had meetings at the church, everything went so good in these meetings. We restored some people. We did some things. We had a great prayer meeting. Everything. Man, I come home just floating. Oh, man, today I won't sin for sure. The rest of the day I'm good. And then my wife says she wants me to do something. I'm like, what in the world is she talking about? Doesn't she know I'm a man of God? I've been out here spiritualizing with folks. The garbage needs to be taken out, Larry. Then the attitude just snaps. Oh, I know none of you do that, but I do. But if you let pride get in the way, look at this. Nothing kills gentleness like pride. Your expectation is so high and mighty. I don't have to be gentle. You should just be doing it. Oh, that sounds pastoral. That sounds real loving. When we forget the depth of our own sin, we become very judgmental. But when we remember that Christ bore our sins at the cross, we become humble. You see, when you're going to go talk to a brother, you that are spiritual in the room that I'm talking to, you that have that maturity, when you're going to go talk to a brother, remember the cross. Let it shape you in that meeting. Remember that grace of God is what got you spiritually mature. You were headed for hell faster than you could go when God interrupted you and sent his son, and then he showed you his son, and you accepted him. By grace you were saved, not by your works, not because you were the great orator, so we're going to have you. You're going to get saved because you're a great orator. Who cares? Don't act that way. Come in there humbly. Come in there loving. Come in there gentle. I say the cross itself. I get out of skew. I get off. Get a little crooked in my thinking. The cross always levels me out. It always brings me back where I need to be. How could this person do that against God? Wait, Larry. Don't forget, that person could be you. Oh, that'll level you out a little bit. We restore not as judges looking down on people, but as sinners saved by grace. And we're just reaching out. And church, let me ask you. I'll ask you as individuals, but I pray this is true of our church. Is your instinct to be criticism? Or is your instinct to restore? I'm going to criticize what they did. Or I'm going to go and restore them. That's why God put this in here. So you would go and restore them. You know why? Because this week you need restoration. Next week I need it. And then someone else needs it. And that's what we call iron sharpening iron. You start getting next to each other. And let me tell you something. You can't do this. Sorry for all of you folks that are sitting at home on internet. Iron can't sharpen iron if you never are in the building with us. You need to be here. Now, if you're sick, can't be here, that is a great way of being involved still. Watching us online and doing all that. We're going to keep doing box casts and keep doing online. But I'm just saying, how can you sharpen another person if you're never seeing them? How do we watch for you as elders? How do we watch for you as pastors if you're never here? We want you in this building, not so we can count numbers. That's not it. We want you here so you can grow and mature and you can become one of the spiritual. What if you're a spiritually mature person and you got stuck in the whole COVID thing and you just never made it back? We want you back here. We could use your help. Amen? A church shaped by the cross restores gently. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 2. What does that burdens mean there? What does that word look like? The word burdens refers to a crushing weight. You ever had a burden so heavy you couldn't do anything about it? You just felt like you were trapped underneath it? And then you had a brother come along. Who noticed that you're stuck under this burden? And said, we're going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to start meeting. We're going to start doing something to get rid of this burden for you. And then the burden feels like, oh, I couldn't handle this burden by myself. But a brother came along, and instead of beating me up because my daughter was in sin, he said, I will pray with you. I promise we'll pray together. We won't let up. Pete Knight would never let up on my daughter. My Aunt Carolyn would never let up. My uncles, they prayed for my daughter. Oh, I needed that. I was under a heavy, heavy weight, a burden. And not one of sin on my part, just I was under a burden. You been there? If you know someone that's like that, go help them with the burden. Go help them. Two can lift the burden. Three or four or five can lift the burden. Sometimes it's too private. You just need one other person. But there are times where you need help. I need somebody to help me lift the burden. And in doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Todd just spoke about it either last week or week before. Can't remember now. It's love. Love one another as Christ loved the church. Love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love. That's Christ's commandment. And that heavy burden, grief that won't lift, that's what I was just talking about. I couldn't get it lifted myself. But oh, thank God, he lifted it. Because the people that prayed with me helped me get through, me and my wife. Temptations that feel relentless, that's the kind of burdens. Financial pressures, those are burdensome. It's February 12th, and I'm still $1,000 short on my house payment. Not me personally, don't take that, but it's like when you're in that condition, you're like, what do I do? It's a burden too heavy for me. I've done everything I can. I can't get the money. Share the burden with somebody. Maybe they're the answer to the burden. I don't know, but you will find that when we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill that love that Christ is talking about. Some of those loads are just too heavy to carry. All right. We don't have time this morning to go to John 13, but you can look at it when you get home this afternoon and you're eating your lunch. You'll see that Jesus loves one another as I have loved you, he said. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one. What an example. How did he love you? How does Christ love you? Watch. He bore our ultimate burden. What's your ultimate burden? You were under the weight of sin and you could not get out. You were trapped in it. It was such a heavy weight. You didn't even know it most of your life, but you were under the burden of sin. Even when you were unsaved and thought you were having a good time, you were under sin. It's a burden you couldn't get rid of. What does Christ do? He bore it for you on that cross. He took your sin on a cross. He did not stand at a distance waiting in heaven. No, he carried himself to Calvary and took your sin with him, and it was nailed on a cross, and his own father turned his back on him for 6 hours. Total darkness. Because I can't relate to the sin that my son is paying for. He stepped under the weight that we could never lift. And now, shaped by that cross, because of that cross, we are supposed to step underneath that same kind of weight for one another. That is cross-shaped love. The kind of love, for me, the kind of love that says, I'll give up my rights and my privileges to see that you get what you need. That's love. That's love. I'll give up some finances to you. I was going to go on vacation, but me and my wife can staycation because you need to make your house payment. Now, don't come to me with your house payments. That's not what I'm saying. I am kind of saying that in a way. For if anyone thinks he is something, then he is nothing. That's the danger of pride. And guess what pride always does? It isolates you. It isolates you. You get all by yourself when you're prideful. When you're around somebody that's always proud and cocky and arrogant, like, you don't want to be around them. You won't be around them. You're like, I can't handle this, dude. It's probably why I don't have anybody visiting me. But pride says that it's their problem. Pride says it's their problem. It's not my problem, it's their problem. The gospel says, look at this. If it wasn't for grace, that'd be me. If it wasn't for the grace of God, it would be me. If you can't say that, you just got the wrong attitude. I'm sorry. Spirit control says, if it wasn't for Christ in my life, I'd be that person. The balance of responsibility. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regarding to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. It's not contradicting the other part where it says we bear each other's loads. burdens. He's saying load compared to burden. One's different. Burden is something you can't carry. Carrying your own load is your own responsibilities. Your repentance, that's your load. Your obedience, that's your load. Your pursuit of Christ, that's on you. Now, we, as elders and pastors, we'll help you. We'll give you the tools to do that. But, you know, we got to go home at night. And you're going to be there by yourself, so you're going to have to take care of your own load. A healthy church combines compassion with accountability. And those are responsibilities no one else carries for you. You've got to do those. All right. Well, the other half of this sermon we'll do another time. Let me sum this up a little bit if I can. I'm not going to be able to just talk about the couple that I already did, but just say, you got to learn how to restore people gently. You have to be spiritually mature in order to do that. And if you don't feel you're there yet, then you got some stuff to work on. And we will gladly help you in that area. We have lots of classes. We preach from the pulpit all the time about these types of things. Those are, again, that's your load to bear. That's your load to take care of. But we are willing to help you along the way in that. Sunday school classes downstairs and different ones that speak to how to get you in a position where God can control your life and let the Holy Spirit control the life. If you don't have those spiritual fruits in your life, you're not letting the Holy Spirit do what he needs to do in your life. You see, they're his fruits. And he lets them out in your life. But you got to let him do that. And so there's that aspect. Because we want to have people that, Valley Bible Church, we want to be able to restore the believer who's caught in those trespasses. We want to restore them, but we want to do it gently. We want to do it according to what he said to do here. And then just the humility that it takes to do so. That you would admit as you go toward that goal, that you would admit that if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be in that position. I still need the grace of God so that I don't get in that position. And so just look at it that way. Heavenly Father, we want to be a church that is shaped by the cross and the grace that it took for that cross to be carried by our Savior, for him to go on that cross. We want that to shape us. This passage here is just another example of how we can be shaped to be more like Christ, to act like him, to love and to bear each other's burdens, just like he bore our sins on a cross. What an example he was of what we should be like. Be with these folks as they exit this building. Bring them back safely next week. In Jesus' name, amen.